In his last words, Christ tells us we are to be his witnesses in our communities, in our cities, in our nations, and to the ends of the earth. This is the Acts 1:8 Challenge. Accept this challenge today, and your church can become part of this worldwide mission. You're listening to the Acts 1:8 Challenge podcast.
This is Tim Yarbrough with the Acts 1:8 Challenge. I'm here today with Terry Sharp. Terry Sharp is the Acts 1:8 Challenge coordinator at the International Mission Board. And as you know, I serve as the Acts 1:8 Challenge coordinator at the North American Mission Board. We have a special guest with us today, Pastor Jim Mercereau. Jim is pastor of Oak Hill Baptist Church in Crossville, Tennessee. How are you today, Jim?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, Jim, I wanted to find out and let our audience kind of hear about your experience, because you and I had a chance to connect at a recent meeting, and I was impressed at the way that God has been using your church. And as you shared your testimony, you had shared that the Acts 1:8 Challenge has really made an impact on your church. And so, first of all, how did you hear about the Acts 1:8 Challenge?
Well, my first exposure to it was actually at a missional church conference at Carson Newman College, and I believe that was probably in April of 2009. And they profiled the Acts 1:8 program for us there. And I was just very impressed with everything I heard about it, and started doing some additional research.
What was there about what you heard at that conference that made you want to come back and consider that challenge with your church?
Well, I like the way they just made the Great Commission so practical and so easily accessible for every church. I felt that the Acts 1:8 program, the way it structures, it provides a model of ministry that any church could use to be actively engaged in the Great Commission in Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and to the outer ends of the earth. And so I just liked the way it was laid out and presented, and seemed to be exactly what our church needed at that time.
Okay. How did you share the challenge with your church?
Well, after I came back from the conference and did some research, I went ahead and presented it to the leadership team, and they were enthused about it as well. And so we began promoting it in the church, first just through bulletin announcements and letting the church know that the program was coming. We were going to be presenting it. Then throughout the course of 2009, I taught some Great Commission Bible studies. I relied heavily on the material that was provided on the Acts 1:8 website. And then in January of 2010, we actually had an Acts 1:8 kickoff and commitment day. And so that's how we approached it.
That's good. Can you know, when a lot of times people sign up for a challenge or sign up for something that they hear about, you know, and then later on you kind of look back and you wonder what kind of a change has really taken place in the church. Can you look back on the time that you extended the challenge to the church and the church accepted the challenge to today? And first of all, how long has that been since you extended that challenge to your church?
Well, it was in January of 2010 that we extended the challenge and the church accepted it. And so we've been working on it throughout the year. And the way that we approached it is we said we're going to start in our Jerusalem with just two, we're a small church, and so we were going to just have two outreach programs to our community. And once we got those established, we'd reach out a little further to our Judea, the state of Tennessee, and we established one outreach program that seemed to fit well with our congregation. And then we kept going. Samaria, we have something going in the United States now, and we've even done a little bit internationally, and that has all occurred just over the last 9 months. And what we've discovered is that virtually every member of the church has identified a way that they can be involved in at least one of those four areas in some way. And so we have people actually going and participating. We have others that are contributing financially. We have others that are praying. But the whole church is pretty much involved on some level. And there's been a real sense of excitement among the congregation. People feel that they are actively engaged in the Great Commission exactly the way that Jesus laid it out. And again, there haven't been explosive numbers or anything like that, but we can see, first of all, individual Christians within the church growing in their enthusiasm for the cause of Christ. We can see them growing as disciples. And, yes, there have been numerical additions to the church as well as a result of what we're doing.
Great.
Hey, if I could jump in here for a second. Hey, Jim, tell us a little bit about the Crossville community. Give us a little bit, for those pastors out there listening to this that want to know a little bit about Crossville and your mission field there around Crossville.
Sure. Crossville is a small community. We're a small rural community. There's about 9,000 people in the city of Crossville and less than 100,000 in our entire county. Probably a third of them are retirees who have come from other places. And then the other two-thirds are just a good generational cross-section of local people who have been born and raised and live their lives here in eastern Tennessee. We're a rural community. We're a high unemployment rate, relatively low family income. And our particular church is 71 years old. We're on the outskirts of town. We're a family church, and we're rather small. Yeah, we're on the Cumberland Plateau. We're about 70 miles west of Knoxville, about 100 miles east of Nashville. Well, we're about 75 active members. Okay. And we've discovered about the Acts 1-8 program is that you don't have to be a big church with a lot of resources.
Absolutely.
I keep referring to this as a program, and that's probably a bit of a misnomer because it's really a model of ministry. It's an overarching model that everything else that we do within the church fits into. And this kind of becomes our focus, our guiding light, if you will. Mm-hmm. Everything else we do fits into this.
Right, right. One of the things I think when we had talked previously, you told me about just how this has transformed your church in a really tangible way. And can you kind of share about your missions involvement before you launched the Acts 1-8 Challenge and today the difference there's been as far as the involvement of your church?
Mm-hmm. I can, sure. Prior to this, our church had gone through a relatively long period of decline. And there was very little outreach going on. There were the basic ministries of Sunday school and worship, and almost everything was internal. There was very little going on outside the walls of the church. Now, the exact opposite is true. We come into the church. We do what we need to do to equip the believers for acts of ministry. But then our focus is to take it outside, into our community and into our world. And so we're very intentional now about being on mission with Jesus Christ in our world.
If other folks who are listening right now, what would you say to churches who were considering the Acts 1-8 Challenge?
Well, I would encourage them to go ahead and research it and implement it. This is biblical. This is Acts 1-8. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And the people who have developed this model of ministry for us, basically they've just expanded what the Scripture teaches and shown us how we can apply it in a simple, straightforward, and practical way. So I'm to the point now where I can't imagine why a church would not be an intentional Acts 1-8 church.
Hey, Jim, can you... tell us a little bit about the partnerships that you're developing, possibly some missional activity you're doing there locally, and then also what your plans are for to reach out beyond your area there into your state and out into North America, and then any plans you have for international work.
Sure, sure. What we did is we started with our Jerusalem, Cumberland County, Tennessee, and we decided to approach it on two levels. One, which is strictly kingdom work, we're working as a partner with the local rescue mission. We're out there. We're, first of all, helping them with supplies. The members of our church gather supplies that we know the rescue mission needs. And secondly, once a quarter, we take a Sunday night where we go out there and we lead the evangelistic worship service. We bring the food. We serve dinner to the residents of the mission and to all the people in our community that come. And we do that with the understanding that most of those people probably will not end up in our church, but that's okay. As long as they meet the Savior and they end up in some church, we have been effectively involved in kingdom work, and we're happy with that. The other program that we have going on here for our local community is the Grow Visitation Program. We have found that that's a good fit, and that allows us to intentionally get out into the homes, and that, of course, is focused on helping to build up the membership of our church. So those are the two things that we're doing in our Jerusalem. In our Judea, we are working with the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home that happens to be fairly close to our town. It's over in Oakdale. And again, we've come alongside to be their partners, providing supplies and other material resources, but also at least once a quarter, we're doing something special with the children in that home. Sometimes it's taking them out to a movie and pizza. Sometimes it's providing Christmas presents, making sure that every one of the kids has presents at Christmas. Recently, just last month, we had our annual church picnic on the grounds of the children's home. And we did that because we wanted the kids, the children of the home, involved with us. And so our church just spent the whole day out there, you know, fishing and playing ball and eating hot dogs and just having a good time. A little further out in the United States, we checked with our association. We were looking for something in a neighboring state that we could partner with, and they referred us to a ministry up in the coal mining country of eastern Kentucky that has a wonderful outreach to the poor coal mining families. And we've come alongside, and once again, we're helping to provide them with resources. But also, once a quarter, we take a mission trip up there for a weekend to go out and visit in the homes and bring food or to do vacation Bible school type activities. We've brought school supplies just recently to help the families get their children started in the school year. And again, that's kingdom work. We recognize those people are never going to end up in our church, but that's all right. We're going to help this particular ministry lead people to faith in Christ, minister to people's needs in the name of Jesus, with the belief that they're going to end up saved and in some church.
Amen.
And then just this past summer, we sponsored a mission trip with a local organization that was going to the Andes Mountains in Peru. And so I myself got to lead that trip. And this looks like a ministry that we may continue to partner with through the years. So that's where we're at. Those are all small efforts, but that's all right. We're a small church, and we're doing what we can where the Lord gives us opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing specific things? Well, that's a lot, and that's a lot for a lot of churches, particularly a church the size of yours. What are you doing? Are you doing things in your small groups and your Sunday school to kind of reinforce and undergird the Great Commission, Acts 1:8 cause, to help? You know, I guess this kind of falls under the learning about why we need to be about these things as the body of Christ?
Yeah. In fact, we have a Mission Friends meets every Wednesday night. And in all of our small groups, teenagers and adults, we're frequently focused on what we're doing missionally as a church. So that's a topic of discussion. It's a topic of study. We keep coming back to that. Also from the pulpit, though, on Sundays, it's something that I continue to reinforce. As I explain, you know, what we're doing, I bring it back to how it fits into our Great Commission mandate. So whether we're going out to work with the girls at the children's home, or we're going up to Kentucky, or whatever it is we're doing, we talk about how that fits into this ministry model of the Great Commission mandate.
Hey, Jim, you had mentioned you had used some of the resources on the Acts 1:8.com website. Can you point to any specific resources that you found particularly helpful that some other pastors might find helpful out there as they build their mission strategy?
Well, absolutely. the handbook for the leader's handbook was real helpful. That provided a lot of good guidance. But I used the sermon outlines too. I didn't preach those sermons verbatim, but I used them as a guide for developing my own. I used the PowerPoint presentations. Those were real helpful. So I found that there was a lot of resources on there that I just picked up a lot of ideas as well.
Great, great. Terry? Jim, we really appreciate your heart for the mission of God and what you're doing in your church, where you're leading your church. I do want to point out, I was on your website earlier for your church, and I noticed that you have recently published a book. Could you tell us a little bit about I think it's Bringing It Home, a Post-Trip Devotional Guide for International and Domestic Short-Term Mission Teams. Give you a little plug there.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, this is a book that I've been working on for several years. As I was leading mission teams to different places around the world and the country, we had a good devotional guide to help them prepare for the trip. And then on the field, as the team leader, myself and others would prepare devotions that were appropriate to that team and the particular setting. But we didn't have anything to give them to help them process what they had been through after they were home. It just kind of ended on the last day on the mission field. And I felt that there was a real need for a good devotional guide to help them, in retrospect, prayerfully think through what the Lord had shown them and taught them while they were on the mission field. And so that's where that book came from.
Amen.
And it's been well received. I'm excited about it. And I just pray that a lot of people out there will find it useful.
Well, there's a need for that, and I know Terry has as well, but having been one who's led numerous teams over the years, it's great to come back and be able to unpack what God has done and what God is doing in the lives of those participants and how he might use them to impact his kingdom in the future. I assume if pastors want to, or others that are listening to this podcast want to get their hands on the book, they can go to your church website, and I think there's a link there to obtain it.
That's correct. They could go to our church website at oakhillbaptist.net, or you could go to the book's website at bringingithome.us.
Okay, great. And also, if there's pastors that are listening to this podcast that want to get in touch with Jim and talk with him further about what God is doing at Oak Hill Baptist, that web address, again, is www.oakhillbaptist.net, and there are links there to Pastor Jim's email and other contact information. We'll give you the final word, Jim. If you want to just say a word, maybe encouragement to pastors that are maybe just beginning this journey or thinking about looking more intentionally at being more proactive in their mission efforts. Do you have a word you want to share with them as we close?
Sure. I think I probably speak for every pastor in that we all want to know that our churches are effectively on mission with Jesus. We just want to have that confidence that we are making our best effort to be on mission with him. And I personally feel that the Acts 1:8 ministry model is a great tool to help us do that. So I would just encourage them to check that out.
Amen. Thanks for being with us today, Jim.
All right. Thank both of you guys. Appreciate your ministry.
For more information about the Acts 1:8 Challenge or to register your church, go to www.acts18.com or call 1-800-4-ACTS-18.